Hey, Sean, do you want to do like your intro? Or should I do?
No, I've already done my intro for like the We the Gamer cast part. People have already heard me scream. So you do your thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey, guys. Welcome.
Why does every time a new podcast starts, it begins with just really uncomfortable, kind of weird, awkward laughter because like nobody knows what to do?
Yeah.
Even if we've been podcasting for many years.
Like, we don't know why that is. Yeah. And then we're like, we have like that nervous giggle.
Like, I don't know what it is. Who's going to say the next thing?
Is it you? Is it me?
Maybe we should have planned this out a little better. We're literally making this up as we go along here.
And this is episode 00 of the Console That's War right. Room. I am your host, Joseph. Alongside me, the X-Bot himself, Mr. Sean Capri of the Xbox Drive. How are you, sir?
Well, I wasn't sure, Joe, if I was going to be playing the role of an X-Bot or a Nintendo fan. What's a Nintendo fanboy called? Like, what do you call them? What's the Sony Pony version of Nintendo?
Did they call them like Nintendo drones or something like
that? Oh God, probably something like this. It's just like you can tell they really like thought about it hard and long. Yeah. And that's just what they ended up on, man. Yeah. The Nintendo, even X-Bot, it's like good one, you know?
Yeah.
Even Sony Pony, what does that even mean? Like you're a horse?
Yes, we're Pegasi.
You're a shiny mammal? I don't know, man.
Yeah, a Minotaur or whatever.
Minotaur! Well, yeah, I wasn't sure. Like, obviously, you're Sony Pony, just all shining up and everything. And I don't know. Like, I guess some weeks I could come into this as a X-Bot or whatever the Nintendo people are.
That's the thing. So I wanted to make this show, first off, as just an excuse to talk to you, Sean.
Yeah, same.
Because I just miss your voice.
Yeah. We already have all the other things kind of covered. Like, I've got an interview show, already. We each have our console specific shows. Like, what else? Yeah. Those are all the shows. You can't do any other, like, audio form podcast. Like, that's it. I do Sweet Hangs with Donnie.
I love Sweet Hangs,
That was the catch-all. That was, like, the everything else. So now we're trying to add on top of that. There's nothing.
And so what I wanted to do here... as episode 00, we kind of want to let you all know and kind of plan what this show is going to be all about. So first and foremost, this is a monthly show where Sean and I get in a room and we have the play on the console wars.
Yeah.
Because we could both agree it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to lure people in. The thing is that it's not a publicly available podcast either. Like this is a Patreon exclusive to both our patrons, which I think is awesome. It's my new favorite trend, doing it with Donnie and the PSVG crew. Like, it doesn't have to be only mine and only yours. And these collaborations, I think, are always awesome. But if it were a publicly available podcast, it would be great because we would lure in all those, console war people, and we'd be like, we're friends, actually. Like, we're not here to tear each other down. Yeah, exactly. and probably one day I will be buying a PlayStation 5 as soon as they figure out how to get some good games out for it, or make it smaller, reasonably sized.
Likewise, same to the ugly goddamn monolith that is the
passive aggressive. Yeah, right, dude. Anyway, well, we saw a bunch of Series S's at Extra Life together. Yes. That was kind of encouraging. Very cool. Very, very portable.
Even. Very progressive.
Yeah, it was. I guess so. Progressively scanned. I had 1080p, not just the eye.
Can I tell you something? I will never do what I did with my PS5. Like, I'll never bring it to Extra Life. way I did.
Yeah,
I'm already playing. Like, we're already playing it next year, and I'm like, I think I have to drive with this thing. Because lugging it around like it was Baby Yoda, it's just you're so. It's not big. Like it's heavy. It's just I'm paranoid.
Yeah,
someone's gonna steal it.
You were Norman Reedus with like the the packages, and you had to walk very carefully, one leg at a time.
Yeah,
left trigger for the right foot, I think it was, and right trigger for the left foot.
Exactly.
Inverted.
Exactly.
Because Japan. You know what I think we need to do though. We need to normalize this for Extra Life in the future. Is that whatever you need, go to the Best Buy in Rome, New York, buy it, and then return it the next day.
Yeah.
So if you need a PlayStation, just go buy one. Although I guess you can't really just walk up and buy one at this point, which is kind of nuts.
By next year, we should be able to, things should be cooling off.
Yeah, I think so. Well, God of War is going to come out for the PS4, so people will obviously be buying a PS5 to play it.
Obviously.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that works.
This is going to be just tons of this passive aggressive. We believe in generations. Like that's what people can expect from, at least from me, for at least for the next 6 months is we believe in we could have called it like the generational podcast.
Yeah. Or we could have put that. Or we could have said that like Xbox puts out half baked PC ports of their
Damn.
Xbox.
Damn. Wow. You got the me. Podcast. The Viking Cole in the podcast.
We could say that.
Yeah.
Okay, so real talk though, one debate needs to be about the asymmetrical versus whatever the other
one is. Oh, dude, there's a lot you can do on the controllers itself, even like the rumbles and the batteries and the asymmetrical thing and the whatever else. I mean, there's that hidden feature in the Xbox controller where you double tap the button at the top and it switches to the last console that you were paired up with. Very cool, man. Very, very good, especially because I've got my Series S and my Series X back there. It just kind of
also there's like this little feature of the middle button right here for captures.
Oh, it's terrible.
That sometimes you press it and it works.
Yeah, sometimes it works. If you do it once, it's got like a cooldown period. It's like a power up. You know, it's like your ultimate.
It's like the A for effort of buttons.
Oh man, it's like it's so bad, dude. It's like it just drives me crazy. Like I've never. It was this fall, a bunch of games had come out and I was playing Tales of Arise and I was kind of just, I wanted to go trigger happy with the share button. It's just like, I kept missing things and just, I was real mad about it. I've never been, I almost rage quit the share button, you know?
Honestly, I tried playing, I forget what, I think it was like Demon's Souls or something.
Yeah.
Like there are some games where it's like, I could only play it on PlayStation because if I'm playing like a Souls game, it has to be on PlayStation. If I'm playing it on Xbox, it just feels like I'm kissing my cousin. It's just like, yeah, I'm playing Dark Souls, but it just feels wrong.
So the whole like kissing cousin things is like, yeah, like it's good because you're getting some action, but it's exactly. Your cousin.
And it's at the family reunion.
I've always heard that, but I never really understood what that meant until. Okay, man. Well, what the hell is this? So obviously we've laid down the groundwork where we're going to be pitching some passively aggressive, you know, shots at each other's console. Yeah. It's going to be a Patreon exclusive for each of us. This right now, what people are hearing now can also be heard publicly on We The Gamercast, which is pretty neat. You know, people can get a sense of what the hell this is. And also I need an episode this week. So there's,
isn't that something?
Yeah.
So what I was thinking about this show, Sean, and it's kind of where every month we kind of just gather around and we talk about the biggest stories that surround each console.
I like it.
And we just kind of dissect it through that type of lens.
Sure.
Because it seems like every week there's a fruit physics that goes awry.
Yeah.
There is someone that's like, somebody's
mad about the puddles.
Look at all these reflections. Someone's talking about the resolution and, you know, PlayStation 5 game X and Xbox game Z and just, it's always like a pissing contest.
You know what? This show would have been so different if you and I started this 7 years ago, because I think we actually would have leaned into our sides a little bit more, you know, like, cause I think maybe those fights are still going on and I just mute my Twitter well enough that I don't really see too much of it anymore.
But sadly still is.
Yeah, it probably, it's probably still. And I don't do Reddit or anything. Like I've kind of just carved out a nice little like island on my,
you say that you're only on 8chan. Which I find interesting.
Right, right. Well, you know, I heard that 9chan is really where it gets intense. So 8chan is. I just wanted to like pull up just short.
Yeah, that's the type of chan you want to be at.
Yeah.
Anything above or below. Too many chans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's kind of just a play on the console war malarkey with just two friends that could kind of appreciate each side, you know?
Well, it's great because I just played the PS5 for the very first time. So now I'm an experienced person who can speak just until it, you know, your PlayStation died because it couldn't handle a power surge or whatever the hell happened. But the rest of us just fired up our Xboxes, like back to normal, you know, PlayStation down for the count, dude.
Listen,
the referee counted to 140. Minutes.
That was a bad memory.
I want to pull back immediately because I feel real bad. And then you know what? I was tired when it happened, but I was still at least with it to know not to poke fun at PlayStation at that time. And like shouldn't have got a PS5. Like, I would have laughed. Probably not a good time for that. You're just like, this thing is $700 and irreplaceable. I can't get another one. It's totally broken.
And Janet from PlayStation Customer Service is mean.
They always are. A couple things. I don't know if you want to just pick things randomly, but even just from a, I feel like as a first kind of topic, like, we're celebrating a year with these consoles, man,
right?
I don't know if that's kind of what you were thinking, but
I was
yeah, it seems like thing. I got to hang out with Luke Lore the other night. Oof. And we I don't like that. You guys are so mean to each other. One of these days, one of you is going to take it too far, mark my words. One of you is just going to go like, or maybe you already have. Maybe there's a story.
Oh, I'm about to. Just wait till his birthday is on the 23rd. I've literally spent, you know, how I just talked about in before the show, like, oh, I got to really be smart with my money or whatever.
Yeah.
I have spent $100 to troll this man.
That's actually amazing.
And when I tell you what it is, you're gonna be like, yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
that was the right call. That was the right call. So Sean, I'm gonna start with you.
Yeah,
how has the first year, and don't BS me, how has the first year of the Xbox Series X been treating you?
Man, I don't know about you, but have you gone back to a PS4? Have you gone back to an Xbox One X, one of the, like, at all, like, after playing the new one? I think that my argument and the thing that has to be brought up whenever this type of thing gets discussed is it's all relative. And any first year with any console, not the best year. Generally speaking, I would say year two, year three, things kind of get hot and heavy. First year, probably not so much. You've got enough to keep people who spent the money fairly happy. And that's kind of where I'm at. But there's a lot of holes that can be poked in that. And I'm kind of like setting myself up to be attacked on that front. I'm like, I know that there's a lot to be said that they ditched on Halo. Cyberpunk was supposed to be, I think, the thing in Xbox land that hit last year. It was kind of like cross-generational that didn't really land at all. The Medium didn't really hit the way that it probably could have. The Ascent was another one that was kind of coming up and didn't really land. 9.7,
game of the generation.
Yeah, not a lot of those. However, we're now a week after Forza Horizon 5, which is sitting somewhere at like 8 million players. So for me, it's about the, like, everything else. Like, I think Game Pass has been banging, and I wouldn't want to play those games on Game Pass on anything but a Series X. So it's a bit of a roundabout way to say I'm still happy with it. I have both consoles, but there's the games argument is one that is probably valid at this stage.
Still, even with like, you know, depending on when this podcast comes out, Halo is either multiplayer is either out or going to be out very soon.
Yeah. So, well, and that's the funny thing is, funny thing is, I think Halo, even in just like a beta form or the technical test, the flights that they did kind of saved Xbox in a weird way as well, because there was a lot of good kind of just community building that came out of that. Even though the game didn't even come out, people kind of started to believe in Halo again and through that Game Pass and through that Xbox. So that and the, you know, gotcha with MLB The Show, I think was a pretty big deal. There was more of those types of things. It was a non-traditional first year in terms of things that you're looking for to look when you're looking for signs of life on a platform. You know, it wasn't your usual Returnals. Like, PlayStation had them. Lineup. Like, there's not even, honestly, like, there's not a comparison. The launch lineup for PS5 was just ridiculous.
It was fucking stellar. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so I
was lied to. I'll just say that. I didn't like being lied to.
No, Jim, you fucking
dance moves,
bitch. Mm-hmm. let's work in the future, Jim. So talking about Xbox for a sec, this is a different energy for the company as a whole.
Yeah.
Because when I take a look at this year, it seemed like every week they had something to say.
Right.
Every week they were in the news, every week. And it wasn't like, you know, there were some missteps. Like, remember back in like, what was it?
Like February? Xbox Live when they did the double. Yeah.
We're going to charge you double because we want you to just jump on Game Pass already.
Yeah.
Like, there were those moments. But like, having Outriders on Game Pass. And look, Outriders is not the game of the year by any stretch of the imaginations.
And speak for yourself.
Oh, sorry. But in truth, there is truth to like, this game that I was going to have to risk maybe $60, I don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
or like MLB The Show. What a huge get for them. Even if it like died out in a week or two afterwards, mm-hmm. right? It's just like in the moment, those moves seem really progressive, really pro-consumer, and it's something that you want to cheer Xbox on. And I think we're reaching a point, and I hope people kind of realize this, is that PlayStation's in a really good place.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're complacent, because take a look at, they got Wolverine, they got Spider-Man, they got God of War. They're honestly great. Mm-hmm. They're doing what we expect them to do.
Right.
Right. So they're not making the news because, yeah, we expect God of War to be great. We expect Horizon to be stellar. We expect all this. What we don't expect is how hungry for the audience the Xbox is.
Yeah.
And how hungry they are for the studio talent. Mm-hmm. And I think that Bethesda deal changed shit.
John. A little bit. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of examples like that. And it's funny when you say, like, how was the first year with the Xbox? I'm like, I feel like we were talking a lot about Xbox this last year. But then you think about like the games and you kind of fall flat a little bit, because I've heard this conversation go around and people go like, well, Flight Simulator. It's like,
shut up.
Like, really? Like, and I know that there's like seven people out there who are just really stoked about it. And it like they had a great time with it and they continue to play. But it's like, you don't. Just admit that it's like, that wasn't it, you know, like, don't hang your hat on something that you don't really like, really stand behind. Cause I don't like, and I think the game is amazing. I think it's awesome and people should take notice of it. And we're lucky to have it on the console, but it's not like, that's not the type of thing that you put up against the Miles Morales of the world or the Demon Souls that would like basically up the bar and reestablish the new bar for remasters. Like, that's not what you do, you know? It's not, it's Flight Simulator, isn't it? Forza Horizon 5, is it? Like, that's where we can finally start saying, like, they've been swinging. But it's been a weird year because, yeah, we've been talking a lot about Xbox and some of the great things that they've been doing. But you look back on the year of games, like, I kind of have to look at my list and go, I think the main benefit is just I didn't pay for many of these because of Game Pass, you know?
And I truly think, Sean, that was... This year in Xbox is kind of like the glimpse of what the future of Xbox is, which is a lot of these games you're just going to pay $15 a month for.
Well, I think these next 2 months, and it'll be interesting as we continue to do the show. Like, I think these next 2 months, things are, we're going to learn a lot. Like, if this is actually going to work, I think the 8 million players on Forza as of whatever it was today, I think Justin Davis from IGN tweeted, like, you're one of 8 million players on Forza. Like, it has the leaderboard thing. So that's where these numbers are coming from. And so I think between that and then Halo and then everything else, like, you just start to see, okay, like, this could be like, who knows what the coalition is going to be showing at a certain point. Like, now we're talking. And I feel like that's why I've wanted to kind of hold back over the last year or so when I say like, oh, they've now got it. It's like, they don't quite have it. Just wait until they do. Wait until they do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's kind of like the calm before the storm. Almost
a little bit, little rumblings, definitely things to be excited about. It's not like there's nothing. Like, that's definitely like, if somebody came into this as an argument and kind of like swung that way, like, there's nothing to be excited about on Xbox. Like, that's not it either.
Yeah.
But it's also not like 360 in 2007 or whatever it was, where it's like you had BioShock and Mass Effect,
the greatest generation.
Totally. Like, it wasn't one of those. Oh yeah, really. But, and that's funny because that's the generation that got me into like back into content in a big way and like listening to it and stuff, like PS3, Beyond, of course, and the 360 era.
I was on that show. I was on that show.
Dude, you're a star. I can't believe I'm even podcasting with you.
I know. I expect residual payments.
In Canadian dollars. I'll send them in Canadian dollars. Okay, so cool. Good luck with that. Yeah. Yes. Take it to Wawa.
Oh, shout out to Wawa. Goddamn. Treasure of the state.
So a good year, and like, you know, it's I feel like, I mean, we're going to be doing our game of the year type of stuff in a couple of weeks here anyways, and my argument really basically since the whole like Xbox has no games thing came to light is like 92.5% of the games are across like platform anyways, like your Far Cry's, your Assassin's Creed, your Call of Duty's, your whatever else, like so many games are the same across both of them, and as far as the performance goes, also the same. So then you're looking at the exclusives or thing, exclusive experiences or exclusive ways to play to each one, PlayStation exclusive titles, and in Xbox it's Game Pass, so it's a little different.
Again, I think it's been a really good year for Xbox. And now I want to talk about the amazing year that's been for PlayStation.
Oh, God.
If you don't mind. Thank you. Honestly, I'm going to say something very fanboyish. I think this was the best launch when it comes to games out there. I loved it. I was always playing something. You know, we talked about it on the Trophy Room this week. It was just like, yeah, once I got done with Astrobot, I'm like, oh, this is delicious. I'm going to go to Miles. It's kind of like that meme of like when the kid's eating and he's picking all the things he's eating and he's enjoying himself. That's what I kind of felt like I was in for a month and a half till I got COVID, and that's kind of screwed everything up. But for me, like, yeah, let's talk about the games that were on PlayStation. Of course, Astro's Playroom. The pack in, you got Demon's Souls, you got Game of the Year Godfall, you have Spider-Man Miles Morales, right? The Pathless, Sackboy, A Big Adventure. And then you had, and who could forget, Destruction All-Stars.
Okay, but now you're just listing like games. Like, this is not what I like. Pick out the ones that actually matter there. Cause, like, let's be real.
Bugsnax?
Yeah, no. Again, don't hang your hat on Bugsnax. You don't even like Bugsnax.
It's fucking
don't hang
stupid.
Your hat on that. Like, be real with it, man. Like, because there is stuff to be. There is stuff that's really good there.
Yes. So
Astro, I think, and Spider-Man are just like excellent. Demon's Souls, excellent, excellent,
excellent. Yeah. And for me, those are the three titles. And Pathless, I really loved Pathless. No bullshit. Really loved Pathless. There was something about the movement and shooting the little like figureheads that were floating up there. It just felt nice when you're gaining momentum.
Was that an exclusive?
Yes, I think it still is. It'll probably come to Xbox eventually, but I know it's also on iPhone.
Oh, interesting.
It is. Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. Also, shout out to Sackboy, A Big Adventure. Sean, when you get your PlayStation 5 eventually,
is that one actually exclusive or should I be buying that on my PS4?
Oh wait, you could buy it on, and that's the thing.
That's great the point. Thing. That's
great point. Mm-hmm. How many of these games do you actually need to
not play even Miles Morales. Miles Morales is still on my Christmas list for my PS4.
And it's fucking great.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima.
That's
I haven't played it.
God, you suck. So yeah, no, that's actually a great point because as I'm rattling off games, there's quite a few of those games.
Yeah, I already kind of did that filtering. I didn't even bring up like Gears Hive Busters, which isn't really a game, but it definitely is like it's a great experience.
Yeah. And so for me, I really enjoyed my time with the PlayStation 5 this year.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about like Demon's Souls, that game is beautiful. I saw a lot of people talking about how it's prettier than Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Well, I think it, you guys were talking about this on the Trophy Room as well. And it is unfair because they're just different scope of game.
Yeah.
As soon as you go open world, it's like you're going to take a hit.
Yes. Now, I will say because when I gave you the PlayStation 5 to try out, I gave you Astrobot. Andrew Semichek had he ruined your experience, I think.
Oh.
Because he sucks. And him and Luke Lloyd, they're enemy number one. Damn.
I don't co-sign that at all.
But here's the thing. If I wanted to show you how pretty the PlayStation 5 is, I show you Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
If I want to show you what the DualSense can do, which I feel like is the thing that is actually different in this generation, I give you Astro. And that's why I gave you Astro.
I wish you could have given me the SSD proof. I wish you could have shown me something that was like, wow, this thing is so much faster and game changing. Cause that's something that we heard all about.
Can I be real?
Yeah.
I think both of that was bullshit. Like, I think load times are really fast on both consoles.
Yeah.
Like I'm still
far from instant.
It's far from instant.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, 5 seconds and I can't be on Twitter.
I really thought PlayStation was going to be like, when I saw those numbers come in, I was like, holy shit, man. Like that is twice as fast as the Xbox. Like that really should translate. And maybe we're not there yet. Maybe it'll still come.
Yeah.
And there are instances where it's faster.
Sorry.
But yeah, there's that. Yeah. No, I didn't love the rumble. From the controller. I cannot be won over by this. Nintendo and PlayStation just overselling it, dude, at this stage. I thought it was the trigger's very cool.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. That is just like I do wish and I hope that they last. I will say that. It's my dad used to we didn't have like power windows in our cars for like many, many years, probably because we were poor, but also because my dad was like, just another thing to break. Like, are you sure you want power windows in your car? Like just another thing to fall apart.
Yeah.
That's, and so that's one of the first things as a joke, thinking about my dad, like pulling on those triggers, like, oh, just another thing for a malfunction. But those were very cool, man. That was really awesome. But yeah,
I will have to say, if this DualSense survives another 3-4 months, I'd be very happy with it.
Yeah.
Because this thing took a tumble the other day.
Oh no.
And it was in the suitcase that was like rattling around. So I'm like, I'm very shocked that one's lasted as long as it has. But to me, I've really enjoyed my first year of my PlayStation 5. Because if I'm talking about the experiences that I really can't get anywhere else, I do think of Demon's Souls as the prime example.
Yeah, that's on the list. I gotta play that one.
And then all the way it comes to Returnal, which was, to me, fucking incredible.
Can I say, from the outside looking in, I feel like the PlayStation community almost buried that thing before it even came out.
Yeah.
You guys were all talking about, like, how is this thing $70? And all the, like, you're just, like,
you're right,
generating all this confusion and whatever. And it's not you. It's just, like, every time, you should be so happy that Housemarque had gotten the resources to make this big game. You know, to finally realize this vision that they've been trying to transition from their arcadey style things to a big thing. And now it gets like the limelight and everybody's like, I don't know about this one. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that's the worst part about fandom. And Xbox has done it before. And sometimes Nintendo fans will do it as well. Like, we get this every once in a while. But it's like, I find myself almost too sensitive to this and I'm trying to work on it.
No, you're right.
But where like a narrative can catch on. And it's hard to escape it. You know, I think Cyberpunk's going to have a really hard time to escape its narrative, and it has earned it, by the way. But yeah, like even Halo with Craig, I thought that they've had to delay the game a year to walk away from the narrative that was generating there. So it's tricky, man.
So for me, talking about Returnal, I think you're right. I think the $70 price tag scares a lot of people, or at least makes them cautious. Because now all of a sudden, though it's only a $10 jump, it's just like, oh, this game has to do something extra. And like, to me, I'm like, listen, if I got to pay $10 and there's no microtransactions in this game, it's just the experience. Cool. Here's my, here it is. Because I'm honestly sick of, like, you know, Ubisoft does this shit a lot now too. Yep. It's just like XP boost.
Yeah.
Cool, crazy cool gold gun, $15. Yeah. It's like, why couldn't this be in the game on day one? So like for me, taking a look at Returnal, Sean, you were right. I remember you were like, Joe, why are you guessing? Like similar things. Like, why are you guessing this? This game's going to be great.
Yeah.
And it's Housemarque having almost enough money to make a AAA game.
Yep.
And they do some stellar things. Like, the combat's great. It's challenging. At the same exact time, the story, which I feel like is always ignored, is incredible, because they give you this like aliens Geiger meets like Metroid-ish roguelite, like story, and it's so weird that you want to explore it.
From day one, I wanted to play that game.
Yeah,
like almost as if I've played Housemarque games before, almost as if I've played PlayStation games before. Like, I'm not a total Xbox. And then when I heard people getting like coming on Housemarque for this, I'm like, have you played a Housemarque game before? Like, you know that this is your gem. This is the one you want. This is best the one studio. You take home to
parents.
Yes, it really, like, it was the one that hadn't been locked down at the time that you wanted them to do, and they finally did it. And it's like, it was confusing to me hearing all these PlayStation fans question Housemarque. Like, that's not the studio you question.
Yeah. And so walking out of Returnal, it is, you know, spoiler alert for the awards that we'll be doing in a month, it is the one to beat right now.
Yeah, wow.
It's the one that keeps coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for me, it's just like, yeah, this is a studio that has had these smaller experiences, but always understood the fundamental gameplay premise that they were pitching. And then they finally had enough money to make something weird and narrative focused. And fuck, was it good?
Yeah.
I don't know if we could curse yet. But, then the next game we got was Ratchet and Clank, which is also a phenomenal experience from Insomniac, their third game in a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, settle down, y'all, please. Which was also really great, but it has that thing of like, it's another Ratchet and Clank game.
Yeah, sure.
It's a, we've been through this. It's bigger. It's a lot smoother. It's a very polished experience. But it was
one of five games that you just talked about. You know, it wasn't the game. It was one of many, which I think kind of helped it out as along with the rest of the launch and the PS5 just in general. Like that has a lot to do with it, I think. And that's not even anything to take anything away from the game that I didn't play. But I, because I'm, that is one of them where I'm like, man, I'm so close. And even just, it's probably worth saying, that, like, the biggest reason that I don't have a PS5 is just because it's just a time thing. Like near the end of the PS4 generation, I found that I was buying the PS4 games and I wasn't getting around to really playing them beyond like the first day that I had them.
Fair.
So it's, it's just like a simplification of my, like, it's, I'll play a game to catch up on my Nintendo show and then play a game on my Xbox show. And that was kind of enough. And it's like, if I were to dive in to beat a PlayStation game, I wouldn't have anything to podcast about. And that's just sort of like the, just comes with the life that, that we live right now, I think.
And honestly, it's kind of similar with Xbox for me. It's just like, I'll play like Death's Door was a great game. That's great. Or I'll play like the Game Pass game, like Outriders. And if I really like that Game Pass game, it's also on PlayStation. I'm going to play it on PlayStation. I'll pick it up there. I know I'm a big piece of crap, but like even then, like most of your exclusives don't hit it for me unless it's Halo. And even when it comes to Bethesda, like I don't really think they're that great. When it comes to machine gun games and id, that's to me, I'm like, all right. Okay, Bethesda.
And that's the thing. I'm glad you got there. And also machine games. I'll save you the machine gun Kelly games that you said.
Did I say Machine Gun Kelly games?
Almost. You said Machine Gun. But in any case, it's the whole gamut of studios that comes with Bethesda. I know some people will point out, like, Fallout's not my kind of game. And it's like, yeah, but is Doom, you know, is Wolfenstein, is that like, and, you know, a lot of, yeah, it is. Get out of here. Wolfenstein was great.
No.
Oh, spoiler really? Alert. Really?
Yeah, they make you kill a dog and I don't like it.
Well, you killed dogs in Last of Us.
I don't know why I turned my brain off for that, but it was hilarious.
They made it like they gave him a character. You did it twice. You got to like play catch with him.
I know.
Like after the fact that like, after oh, the there fact, he is. Like he's dead. The and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go play catch. I know what happens to you. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, dude, we have so many things that we can talk about on this show. We brushed up, I think, almost against like trophies and achievements and The Last of Us 1 versus 2.
We don't even need that show.
This is the whole thing, man. Like, I don't want to go there, but there's a lot for us to chat about.
But honestly, the fast forward, like, I really like Deathloop.
Yeah.
I think that game was great.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Arcane, get on. Yep. You get on there, that chain as well.
See?
Kena, Bridge of Spirits.
Yeah.
That was,
PS2 game of the year.
Yeah. When Blessing said that, real talk, I'm like, I hate that. That is a shitty comparison.
A lot of people said that.
Shitty comparison because a few you weeks gotta later.
Know people are going to take that. And even if you mean it in a certain way, you just have to know like the words that you're saying. You're literally saying the PS2 is three PlayStations ago.
Yeah.
And people are going to take that in a certain way, man. And a lot of people ran with that.
Yeah, I did not like that comparison because I'm like, you're taking what is like this studio's first outing, and in a really good one as well. Again, their first game, and they just it's a very good to great experience.
Yeah,
and you're like, it's a good PS2 game. Come on, that's such a boilerplate,
too like reductionist.
Yeah, it's just like, no, there's so much. It takes inspiration from those platformers, but it does so much, puts a lot of modern stuff in there to make it different. Anyway, nonetheless, really enjoyed myself there. And then we talk about, to me, the acquisitions, because it's acquisition season.
Yeah.
So we married Housemarque.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Loved
really
it.
Really good. Jealous.
So good. And I truly think it's like, someone approached them. Like, I think Tencent approached them, and then they walked over to Sony. And they're like, hey, I know we've been talking for a minute about this. Just to let you know, this Chinese conglomerate that's buying everything, and let's not be an ounce concerned about it. They want us, and they're just like, okay, well, let me call up Dad.
I feel like the acquisition season that happened with PlayStation this year, like, somebody knocked on Jim Ryan's door and was like, you know we don't own these companies, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know that we don't actually own them. It looks like we do. It feels like we do. Most people probably think that we already do, but like, it's not real. We should probably put a ring on it. Like, that's, and I think that's why a lot of people liked it. You know, there was we saw a lot in the last year of people going like, I approve of this style of acquisition and I disapprove of this style of acquisition. There was a lot of, I'm okay with this and not okay with this. and I think it caused for a lot of heated debates.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to argue with the style that Sony did. I thought like it absolutely makes sense. It's something that we're fairly familiar with from the past, mm-hmm. and it seems very natural and organic, and it seems almost like a promotion. It's like when the band that you like that you saw, they're an indie band, you're like, oh, you made it, and then you sold out to the whatever, and then you get you hate them, like the Nickelback thing that happened. but yeah, Microsoft didn't do that at all, really. Yeah. And my thing is just like, I don't really care about like the intent or just the lead up at all. I just look at the result. And in both cases, I'm like, they're both good.
Yeah.
I think in both cases, the platforms secured studios and talent that they needed to advance their platform and to cater to their fans. And it's like, what is Nintendo doing? Like, why, what exactly are they doing? They're off in La La Land. So there's that. And like, I don't look at like the Bethesda one and go like, thou shalt not do it like this. You should do it like this. Because you know what, man? There could be a time where we go, they should have done it like Bethesda. Like, there could be something like more, like quote unquote worse that they could do. They could go buy something else and suddenly go like, I wish they did it like they did Bethesda. At least they had like a working relationship together from.
And that's why I'm not always on the Bernie Bang bus when it comes to things like that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, yeah, like, okay, I'm not a fan. Like when they're like Xbox, me buy Sega or whatever. I'm like, no, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any, there's nothing in that portfolio that screams this needs to be on Xbox.
Yeah.
Or it just kind of feels like you're taking something away from people. Whereas like Bethesda, it's like, oh yeah, you could see they've had a really positive, you know, relationship where like, yeah, when I think of Bethesda, I think of Morrowind and Skyrim. And when I think of those games, I do think of Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, even when I'm thinking of like Doom or Wolfenstein.
Dude, Microsoft already did a worse thing. They bought Rare, for God's sakes.
It's true.
They bought Rare in the N64 days and after the N64 days. That's worse. You know, it might not be the only thing it's missing is a $7.8 or $9 billion price tag. But like that was more of a, you know, what are they doing? They're actually jumping into another pool and stealing all the toys out and running away and like left Nintendo with like nothing. Yeah. You know, at that point in time, it was devastating to Nintendo. That's where people really should be going. Like, that's not how to do it. But that doesn't seem to be better, at least in my estimation. Yeah.
It was kind of like what we say on the show a lot. The Insomniac purchase, which is like, oh yeah, this makes sense.
Totally. And that like, so it's hard to look at that and go, yeah, do it this way and not this way. It's like PlayStation did it perfectly. That's exactly the way they should have done it. And like I said, those guys should have held out a little longer though. Who's run the studio over at Insomniac? They're just like, you guys, like just another year, man. Like they would have quadrupled their selling price.
Yeah.
Man. But something obviously is going on over there because isn't that the dude who was working at the initiative? He was there, kickstarted things up over there, and then he went back to Insomniac and now he's happy. Like there's obviously something happening there that brings somebody back from Microsoft dollars to maybe he was part of the deal. I don't know. I don't know the guy's name. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I forget who. I think what happened there was like, dude. He was a cool looking dude. I think what happened there with what's that Quad A studio you guys have?
Initiative. Initiative
with 60 people. Right.
Yeah, it's not Quad A. It was a stupid job title of the post that somebody did.
Yeah. No, I think, you know what? Starting studios is really hard and very expensive. And they probably looked at it going, this is a bit more than we can chew. And they kind of took a look at Crystal Dynamics, who has an abusive relationship with Square Enix, and just apparently. Went, all right, let's see what we could do here. And who knows, maybe
it makes you wonder, just like, I don't know. There's probably the history of a couple of these studios. I think Colin Moriarty did Naughty Dog and Insomniac.
Don't say his name.
I'm saying his name. He's a guy who
how dare you?
No, I'm going to say it.
No, we're canceling Sean right now.
I probably wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for him.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Podcasts be on? Like, dude, like they can't, it can't take. And even the fact that like him and Greg did the kind of funny thing and like showed everybody how to do that. Yeah. It's like, maybe just, you don't Voldemort the guy. Belly stuff.
And honestly, and like real talk, and all the people are like, he's a real me man. He's a evil person. Sure. It's like, yeah, well, he gave us a ton of codes when, you know, Bobby was sick and, where were you guys? Oh wait, nowhere. You're just complaining and canceling people. Okay, congratulations.
So what the exactly? What the hell was I? So the history of these studios.
A lot of rage there. I'm sorry. Fair
enough. We'll save that for when we actually go Patreon exclusive. Yeah. Like, where do studios come from? Is really what I'm trying to get around. Like, you know, where do they commence? Where do they like? So we see them in where they are right now. You see like a single person studio who does like Stardew Valley, and then you've got like the Coalition, and it's like, where the hell did the Coalition come from?
Yeah.
Like, where did they start, and or where does any like big studio kind of start, or where did Insomniac start? I want to go back in time a little bit and go, okay, because that's the playbook that everybody wants, but it's like nobody can recite. You know what I mean? Like, nobody can say like, okay, tell me about like the first days of Naughty Dog, and where did that come from, and where did that relationship? Right. Like, let's walk through the actual mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And then we can have a conversation before we say somebody's doing it right or wrong, because I just don't think most people even know what they're talking about when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I think you're right. And I think Naughty Dog made an RPG on like the Amiga or some shit like that.
Right. Like, you got to go far back. And far so back. So then they find them like in the, among so many other studios. And that was just like, it's just a model from 20 years ago.
Exactly.
You'd have to get on board.
And with. When I take a look at like PlayStation's Gats, you're right. It's just like, it just makes sense. It is like, Jim, you know, we don't own these. Oh, we don't. Okay.
Yeah.
And now you get your Blue Point, which you're going to make a goddamn Bloodborne sequel, and you better. And a Bloodborne remake, and it's gonna
be. I'm with Kyle. You don't need a remaster or remake for you need a, and that's dude. Talking about PlayStation versus Xbox, everybody's screaming on PlayStation, like, give us remakes for all this stuff. And we're like, we could use a patch, and that's good. We'll be fine. And we're gonna get it, I'm sure, tomorrow as we're recording this with the 20th anniversary. There's a whole bunch of stuff that just got updates. It'll take them up a resolution notch. It'll take it up a frame boost and whatever. All the things that you want. It's kind of like when you and I chat, and you guys are all like, "Oh, I want like free healthcare, and I want my education to be affordable, and no guns." And it's like, just come to Canada, you idiots. Like, we have it all here. Everything you're fighting about.
Really?
Just come here. Yes, we have all those things. You can't go to Walmart. You can't bring your gun, especially across the border. You just say, you leave your gun behind, and that's the only trade. But that's the whole thing. Like, with Xbox, like, we have this here.
But I named it and everything.
You named your gun?
Yeah.
Lucy?
Yeah. It's the same name I named my penis. All right. You know, Blue Point makes sense. The one Fire Sprite, which is odd right now, but we'll see how that pans out, because we have no idea.
So they did that one wrong. I can't believe they bought that one. And also the PC makers, the NXS studio. Yeah,
Nexus.
I know.
And could
you're so young, you don't even know the band. Oh man, I'm so old. Oh, damn it. NXS.
What was that one? Is that a...
Yeah, we'll talk
like later. A grunge band.
No, okay. It was like a shiny kind of poppy band, kind of. I don't know. Okay. YouTube sang about him once.
Stabbing Westward. That's all I got. As deep as I go. Great band. Okay, so first year of PlayStation, I think it's been great.
Very good. Yeah.
And I gotta say this for both of them, because I give the Xbox an A, and I give PlayStation an A.
Yeah.
In terms of content that we've been playing.
Yeah.
This year is way better for first year consoles than last generation.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out if we needed to plug in our Kinect to turn our Xbox on or not. I was screaming at my Kinect. Dude, I wanted to believe the Kinect vision so badly.
So bad.
Oh man, I wanted it. I wanted that, like, that Kinect 2.0, and it could see even like visible light and infrared light and gravity waves and whatever the hell else, like the spectrograms it could see, the exercise videos that it could get you doing, and it would follow you around the room on Skype. That was awesome. But it wasn't meant to be, dude. It wasn't really meant to be. But you're right. I think probably better. And again, like, you know, I didn't come prepared, but I would have liked to kind of go, when were we always going, this is a big deal, this game is coming to Game Pass? Because it always seemed like every other week it was like there's a game that people were stoked about that was either day and date, or people were excited that it eventually got there. Like, Scarlet Nexus is a game that is perfect on Game Pass. And even that is a term that we could talk about at some point. Just like, what does that even mean? And I think that when Nintendo with the Switch kind of started getting some of its momentum, people would say things like, you'd almost stamp it on the box, perfect for Switch. Like, this game, and people would see it on another system and be like, oh, I wish it was over here because it would be perfect for Switch.
And I think, you know what that can mean?
It could mean many things. There's definitely different types of games that are perfect for Game Pass.
I'll give our frenemy Ains from Season Gaming. Like he's very old. He's so old, dude.
God.
He was 23 when he bought the GameCube. What an old son of a bitch.
He has muscles in his biceps that are older than you.
I know, right? It's like this guy's
also impressive. That's kind of a compliment, but
yeah. But also, like, come on.
I take it back.
What do you
have to prove?
What do you have to prove, Ains?
That was mean.
You know? You could do one less setup, you'd be fine. All right, so he said something along the lines of, like, we're going to see Xbox make more risks. And I think what is a Game Pass game?
Yeah.
A game that isn't safe.
Yep.
Like take a look at Outriders.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a safe game to make.
Yeah.
And you can take a look at it and go, oh, this is a third-person shooter. But, like,
Back 4 Blood, I think.
Back 4 Blood.
Oddly enough, sold really, really well, which is actually surprises me. It just kind of, this is the whole, like, we have our echo chamber of podcasting and commenting and stuff, and, like, people are playing it just outside of us. It's like the League of Legends of games, of, like, there's all these things that, like, none of us talk about, but there's, like, a gazillion people playing them. So yeah, I think that you're right, like, there's a risk that can be taken. That's the narrative that we hear from developers, that there's a security that is involved when a game is signed to Game Pass. You just know people are going to be playing the game. And for so many of them, I think there's a joy, but also there's got to be a business sense of, like, you just need people to play it. You need people to try it and tell their friend that they're playing it. So it kind of spreads from there.
And I think that's what really Game Pass is. Cause, like, take a look at Outriders. It did fantastic day one, crash all the servers for a month.
Yeah.
But, like, people went out and bought that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people went out and tried that game.
Because some people don't want Game Pass, which still blows my mind. Some people just don't want to have the $15 per month. They would still.
What do you think that is?
I think it's a saturation of subscriptions. I think it's part of it. I think people are already at their limit. They've got their Netflix and their Hulus and their whatever else, and, like, they just can't add another one. And the other side of it too is, if you're a storied or sort of, like, an older gamer, like, you've just been used to playing in a certain way. You want to buy your games. Owning your games means something. True. Some of us like to have a collection on the shelf. Like, I think that means something. So Game Pass is, you know, it's the main event. It's the thing that people talk about, but it's just another option. And that's the narrative that I think is not really spoken specifically about, but everybody is experiencing with Xbox, is that there's a tremendous number of options. However you want to play, like, you can almost accidentally, like, trip into Xbox at this point.
Were we playing with Dano the other day, Forza Horizon 5? I was somehow playing on PlayStation, so yeah.
That's amazing. Through a browser, I'm sure.
Yeah. So then, but, like, Dano was playing on cloud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were playing on Xbox, and I'm like, "Wow, that's nuts!" And so, and sooner rather than later, that's gonna be normal.
Yeah,
and that's the cool thing about Xbox, is, like, they're doing legitimately different things, and they're taking a lot more risk. And I think that's what Game Pass allows them to do, is just to get weird. You're always gonna have your tentpole titles, like your Halo and your Gears and your Forzas, and, you know, your now Bethesda games, like, you know, your Elder Scrolls, I was going to say Skyrim, and Fallouts. But then you're going to have those other games that are going to do and take more creative risks. And
that will surprise you. Those are the games that, like, really make an impact. I think even Psychonauts 2, not an exclusive, but that's one that surprised me and really kind of caught my attention. And when you say, like, what it allows Xbox to get weird, that, like, I hadn't thought of this until you literally just said those words. It's like, that's what we've gotten from PlayStation, from Nintendo all these years. Like, that's how people describe Nintendo. Like, they got weird. And that's what I think people were getting a little bit nervous about in the last year, when PlayStation was kind of saying, like, we're only going to be investing in these blockbuster experiences. They're like, whoa, people are like, whoa. Like, we've been spending the last, like, 12 years or so enjoying the weirdness, man. We like it when you get a little bit strange on us. We like the Kojima effect, even though that single game isn't going to sell a gazillion copies. Like, it speaks to just the overall, I don't know, there's an intangible there that I think that's what Xbox has been after. They haven't been able to duplicate it in the same approach. So it's a different angle to get to the weird, I think, is really awesome.
Yeah. So for you, Sean, grading this year for Xbox, we both graded an A.
Yeah.
Where do you look towards the future? Is the future bright? Is there some things that you're a little concerned, I guess, about? What is it?
I think that one thing that I think they really need to lock down in Xbox land is just how they communicate on the, like, how do they compete with the Nintendo Direct, basically. I think for the most part they've got actually PlayStation and Nintendo beat on like this, just the social front. Like, I think everybody can just be, you know, they know who all these people are, and mm-hmm. there's, I think, maybe a bit of like a staleness that's happening in PlayStation and Nintendo of like, there's a dude or a woman who's just like, they're talking us through some trailers and it's like, okay. Yeah. And so you can see Xbox trying to veer outside of that, but they oversteer and it's a little, it doesn't quite land either. So I'd like for them to hit a cadence and a, like a really polished thing that they can tell us what's coming. So there's that part, but I think that we're going to see like games drop a lot, dude. I think we're about to see this Halo and then Forza just kind of like trickle into next year. And we could be looking at a really, really awesome year as soon as 2022. What I'm worried about is everything gets slipped into 2023 and we have another year, and that's where patience could start to wane. But even on the counter to that is Game Pass. That is the filler. So they can make deals. They can wheel and deal. I'm just looking.
Can I say Game Pass filler is not a bad word to me?
Definitely not. No, definitely not. Like, I'm looking at my app here. It's like Dragon Quest Builders 2 is awesome. 12 Minutes is a game that I never got around to that I really wanted to. Dude, there's like, what? Disney Plus perks? Holy snap. Bassmaster Fishing, of course.
Oh, dude, you got to get.
How could we forget? Like,
no way. Yeah. I'm very optimistic on Xbox's future. I think it looks great. I do think you're going to get, they want a game a quarter. I think that's what you're going to get. I truly think what is exciting about Xbox is the pieces are falling into place and they're finally getting that nice first party lineup that they've admired or maybe always wanted from a PlayStation or a Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And it seems like now they finally have it. So now all we're waiting is for the Redfalls to drop. Is for your Starfields to drop. Yeah. Look at Starfield. Tracked really well. All we got is like a goddamn poster and a ham sandwich. Mm-hmm. Like, we really don't have any idea what that game actually looks like gameplay-wise. But, like, people are really excited for that.
Yeah.
People are excited about Xbox again. That's really great. The one thing that I want from them, though, is more parity between PC, streaming, and Xbox, console, in terms of Game Pass. Because there's a lot of frustration there on the PC end of like, oh, we got this, but we didn't get that. Mm-hmm. And there's a little messaging there that I think they really ought to nail down.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Can't argue there.
When it comes to PlayStation, I want them to talk to us more.
Yeah.
And actually, like, to talk
when it matters, by the way. That last, whatever you call the state of play. Maybe not necessary.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, for Xbox, it's like, guys, stop taking risks when it comes to communication. You need to do something that goddamn works.
Yeah.
Like, look at the Nindies, look at State of Play, like, look at these things and just do them. When you have a big, like, the one thing I loved from Halo, from like the campaign overview that we saw a few weeks ago, not the thing that we'll see today, is like, it was Cortana talking, it's like giving you the feelings of Halo and then what you're doing in that world.
Yeah.
Right. Similar to that of a state of play for Horizon. It's like, that is what you need to do, because that got a lot of people psyched for Halo and proved it to a lot of folks, rather than having some cringy like host on there. No offense, but like talking about stuff and they're selling me off fake enthusiasm. Like, I'm not buying it anymore. And maybe I'm just jaded that way. But,
well, man, they hit it out of the park with Paris, though. So Xbox.
He's great.
He was great. And I think that, I don't know if there's a certain period of time before somebody becomes that too polished, right? Like, he was clearly excited to be there. Like, he had kind of worked his way up and he'd been grinding the whole time. And so you got a little bit of that like natural excitement. But when you're like, here I am going to tell you about the great games that are coming to Xbox, and I'm really excited to tell you about them. It's like you're saying the words you're excited in the exact same tone and tenor as all the other words. Like
a la the Twitch Xbox showcases they did twice, and everybody noped out of immediately.
Yeah.
Like the host, even though like there was not enough preparation. Anyway, don't experiment there. Play it safe. Do what PlayStation does. And when it comes to PlayStation, you.
Okay, here
Jim Ryan. I'm looking at your Picasso painting of a man. Listen, you're great at branding. You need another brand besides State of Play. You need a indie showcase.
Yeah.
Because you're right. That last showcase, I knew what I was going to get. I knew it was going to be a lot of weird shit. You need that to be a PlayStation Indie event. Whatever you want to name it, whatever. But that's a PlayStation Indie event. And your state of plays are, here's your big third-party games. Here's your deep dive into Horizon. Here's your deep dive into God of War. That's what your state of plays are.
Mm-hmm.
State of plays are way too hit or miss.
Yeah.
Gotta get focused. I think they heard that this showcase.
You know what they need to do, actually, as we talk about this? Because sometimes I get a little like, man, we're bitch whining and complaining all the time. Like somebody else has got to do something better. It's like, we can do that. Like a lot of the promotion and like generating excitement is like, how are they working with podcasters? How are they working with YouTubers and content creators to get this done as well? I feel like Ryan McCaffrey was so far ahead of the game, bringing his sort of magazine experience into IGN with like IGN First and almost like a cover story mentality. Game Informer still doing that as well. But like, where else is that? You know, and I think it just takes a lot of, I think there's a reason they don't do it. So it would take a lot of work to work with somebody like you or me or many of us.
Not just that, it's hard to track analytically.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but sometimes you can't have things like locked together analytically, like a Google analytic. Right. So like sometimes you just need, you know, the conversation, the impressions might have to be enough. And there's an element of their marketing plans that are like that as well. Like some of it will be conversion and some, that'll be another conversation you and I can have as our professional lives take us into like marketing really. So there's, and I don't know about you, but like every now and then somebody says like, they just need to do like marketing better. It's like, do you have any idea what you're talking about? Like there's so many disciplines within marketing. It's like people will say like, and they mean commercials, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, is it the research? Is it the analytics of the conversions? Is it just the awareness promotion? Like what is your goal? Like, dude, like talk about marketing all day long.
Yeah. And so with that, like PlayStation communication needs a bit of work. And I think what PlayStation ought to really take it.
You want them at E3? On.
No.
You want them gone from E3?
Really don't need that event anymore.
I hate you so much.
I know. We're not going to be ready for next E3, I'll tell you that.
What do you mean? Who's not going to be ready for? Oh, for the world? The world's not going to be ready.
Give her one more year. Give her one more year. Oh,
come on, dude. I can't. Just, I can't even. You can't give that to me here. That's such a downer to close things out
I'm sorry. But no, I don't think we're going to have E3 because I don't think we genuinely, I don't think we need it. But I do think when it comes to communications, you're right. The way that they talk to creators is just not great.
No.
It's a mystery. It's an enigma. Mm-hmm. And it for me, it kind of sucks because I want to. I would love to gain access to the PlayStation Lab, not for the free game thing. That's neat and all, but like, I really want to pick these people's brains, and it's really hard to get, you know, not even like a Corey Barlog on your show, but like someone from a Housemarque, someone from a Blue Point, and just talk about their game because they are so, you know, vacuum sealed over there. So I would love
how do you get these people from these studios going on like the circuit? Like, and I don't know if they do already as like a, but the circuit is gigantic publications out there. Like, how do you get some of these people on? Is it just the IGNs, the Forbes, and I don't know, Game Informer? Like, is that it? Like, how do you, I don't know. Like, dude, they sent us to Coalition. The Xbox drivers at the Coalition. We talked to Rod Ferguson. It was amazing, dude. But I would love, and it doesn't have to be like the biggest gigantic games, but there is a happy middle because we get, even in Xbox line, we get the indie games that come out. And it's like, that's great. If I had the time to like go play them and experience them, what I think would be even better is a curation that happens of like, these are the ones in Xbox land you kind of want to be talking about. Like, these are the hidden gems that like we think could be something to pay attention to. And the other side of it is I think it's hard to do that because you don't even know what a game is until it's done. Really. I think PlayStation had a good example of that with Until Dawn. Like, they didn't know what the hell it was. They didn't know it was good. And then it came out. They're like, why didn't you tell us about this? Like, I think there's an Until Dawn that comes out probably every week. They're like, why didn't you tell us about this? And I think that's the frustrating part that you're kind of speaking to with this whole communication thing.
Yeah. But like, when it comes to the games, like, just keep pumping them out. I got faith in you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, like, again, I get panic attacks just thinking how I'm going to split my time between Horizon and Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Life finds a way. Mm-hmm. But like, it's going to be a good year for both consoles.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing as we talk about these console wars that I really liked here is that there is no winner.
Yeah.
we're just in our ecosystem.
That's what losers say. That's what losers say.
I know.
There's no winners. Participation trophies all around. Well, you're probably right because it's never ending. There is no winners because there's not a finish line. Yeah. So it's just an interesting race. It's an interesting kind of jockeying for position that happens. Like that's some of the most interesting conversations I think last year came out of. I can't believe Xbox. Like how did they get MLB the Show? Like things like that where you just, you know, you're not trying to go like, oh, they really like, there's not a winner, like kind of what you're saying here, but like it's interesting. You'd be not doing yourselves any favor by just ignoring those types of conversations. They're super fun.
Yeah. Well, that said, that's been the year one.
Yeah.
This has been the console war room.
Yeah. Sean and I fought it out. We're going to have a different name for it, I think, every time. Is it the console war? I don't know, dude. I don't know. We're workshopping it.
Yeah, we're workshop. Name and product. Doesn't really matter. You're on our Patreon.
Exactly.
We're having fun. We like to have fun here.
Yeah. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's next month? We're going to talk about the game of the year and why it's
Could be. Yeah, I guess that would be about that time where, mid-December at some point, and we'll be talking about that. So, yeah, that could be fun.
I can't wait till Killzone comes out and kills Halo.
No, and Resistance are going to come, like, as a tag team.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Killzone will be, like, kneeling down behind Halo, and then Resistance will be like, hey, Halo, and push him, trip over Killzone.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, God, like The Undertaker. Oh, okay.
VR2's coming next year, dude.
That too. We're going to put goggles in my face again.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it doesn't underwhelm.
The end.
The end. Everybody, love y'all. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Do I have to do anything over there?
No, you don't have to do anything. Why am I waving? That's a Kyle and Joe thing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.